Aleishur Chelek Aleph Daf Kuf Ein Zayin. This is the fifth chapter. He begins with a summary. Soid Ha'afar Kavdus HaGuf. We speak about Afar, that element, the element of earth. It represents the inertia of the body, the physical body. Toldotoy Ha'atzlus Terachei Kuchanius. The consequence of it is laziness, which is the attempt to push off Ruchanius. Then Soid Hamayim, we spoke about it briefly. Meshicha Acharei Ta'anugim Shel Guf. So this represents just physical pleasure. It's in the previous chapter. Bishnei Shelavim Eile, regarding these two stages, Matzanu Be'ezras Hashem Notiv, we found a path, Ketzad Lehagi Lidei Tikkun, either to correct them completely, or Lechol HaPachos Ham Tokasma, at the very least to sweeten it a little, to improve it a little. We spoke about the concept of Gvura, which was a combination of Koyach and Gdula, that was in the third chapter, that we used to extricate ourselves from Atzlus. We said that the process there is to use that Gadlus, that greatness, that one perfect midah which is implanted in each individual, and then to spread that to the rest of his Avodas Hashem. As far as Mayim, so Hana'ach Hazakam Yitura Vavida, the emphasis, strong emphasis on pleasure in Tura Nevada, Machri'a Esa Meshicha L'Tanugi Aguf. That helps one in terms of avoiding the attraction to excessive physical pleasures. That's a summary. Me'ata Anu Magim L'Yisod HaRuach. So we come to the foundation of Ruach Sh'yosera Ruchani Mishnei Kodmav. It's more spiritual, more subtle than the two previous ones. Yesod de Ruach, it represents why Yesod Dvarim Betilim Asurim. It represents unnecessary speech and also forbidden speech. Those are the negative manifestations of it. Gam b'hagyenu l'ruchaniyus inu mevchinim b'malach chitzoni u'malach pnimi. When we look at it from a spiritual perspective, we notice an external process and an inner process as follows. The mission in Pekei Avos, Shemoyim Benoi Oimer, Kol Yomai Godalti Ben HaChomim, I was raised among the HaChomim, V'lo Yimatzasi Leguf Toiv Mishesika. I found nothing better for the body than silence. Now the Maharal here explains, B'der Chaim, Nefesh HaMedaberes Ukuach Gufani. They find something called Nefesh HaMedaberes as opposed to Nefesh HaSichlis. So the Nefesh that is responsible for speech is still a physical element. Shadibur Kuach Gufani Ve'eno Sichli Legame. Speech is still very much a physical activity. It's not totally intellectual. Lechach ra'ui lo ha'shesika. Therefore, it's appropriate for the body. Shesika shelo yavo lidei ta'us v'shibush. So as not to come to mistakes, to distortions. Ki ka'asher hu po'el b'choyach ha'dibri mevatel koach ha'sichli. This is the crux of here. When the one force is used, the other cannot. They don't coexist. So when one is using one's power of speech, one's ability to intellectualize is negated. It's not possible for the person to have two things happening simultaneously, hasechel ve'aguf, for both to dominate. Ulefichach im koyach haguf shasechel hadibri poel. Therefore, if the body is active, and this particular type of speech, a lower type of speech, is active, ein hasechel ha'yoni poel. One cannot activate one's analysis, analytic mind, ve'avoli deitaus, and one can easily come to mistake. That's his explanation of the statement of Shimoin Bnoi. Says the author, Nimtzenu lemedim she'eshna shtei madagos basechel. What emerges is that there are two levels of the mind, sechel hadibri ve'sechel yuni, the speaking intellect, which is a lower level, and then the analytic intellect. Sechel hadibri u'koach gufani ha'menugad la'sechel yuni. The Maharal said that sechel hadibri is still a physical force which is in opposition to the intellectual mind. Hadavar maflim oid. Initially, it comes as a shock. We always conceive of it, of speech, as something intellectual, and therefore it's surprising. Ulam besimas lev mu'etet navchin bay meitev. If a person pays a little bit of attention, he can easily discern these two levels. Veloyark besichas cholin, not just in casual conversation, where one should be able to notice fairly easily that speech is still very much a physical activity. Ela afilu kashem adavrim edivrei teira, even if a person is speaking the vetera. Devarim shelo yinikar bahem kovid roish, words that don't manifest a seriousness. Venizrakim mina pe bli iyun machshava. They're just thrown out without thought, without analysis. Or another manifestation is simcha shitchis binisuch mitzatzel, when a person experiences superficial joy because a certain a rhetorical flourish. It's really, there's nothing deep to it, but it's been put in such a nice way. Heim heim simanei asichel adibri. Those are the symptoms of that lower level intellect. Ve'im afilu bidvarim al noiser ruchani. Even in discussions about some spiritual content, efshal avchin shemovim asichel adibri, we can discern with a bit of attention that they stem from this seichel hadibri, the lower level speaking intellect. All the more so when it comes to casual conversation, we notice that it's not necessarily deep. Chazal teaches that sichas chulin shel tamidei chachamim tzricha limud. When it comes to tamidei chachamim, even the sichas chulin, even the casual conversation, bears analysis and the learning. Ki gam sichas chulin shelahem mekura b'sechil yoni. For them, even the sichas chulin comes from the analytic mind. Says the Midrash. Le'ah tafasa pelech hoidaya. So Le'ah exemplified hoidaya, which can mean both gratitude and acknowledgement, the same root. Ve'amadu mimena ba'alei hoidaya. And therefore she gave birth to those who exemplified that trait. Yehuda, for example, vayaker vayomet tzedka mimeni. He said about Tamar that he was the father. He admitted, he acknowledged, v'chulei. Then the Midrash says, Rochel tafsa pelech ha-shesika. In contrast, Rochel exemplified the attribute of silence, ve'amdu kol bonea ba'alei misterin. And therefore, her children connoted those who keep secrets. Misterin in the sense of misterin, like hidden. They were able to hide things. They were able to keep quiet. For example, her son, Binyamin, Yoshfei, his stone in the Choshen, the stone represents the tribe of Binyamin, is Yoshvei. And the Midrash darshans, Yesh pe yodeh mechiosu shel Yosef ve'inu magid. There's one among us, there's a mouth, literally, among us, among the brothers, who knows about the sale of Yosef, but does not reveal it to the father, Yaakov. So he exemplified silence. Shaul, who's also a descendant of Rochel, from the tribe of Binyamin, ve'es dvar ha-melucha lo yigid lo. After he had been anointed by Shemuel, he went back home, but he didn't reveal to his father that he was the new king of Israel. He didn't say anything. That's a pasuk. Esther, who was also descended from Binyamin, Ein Esther Magedes Moilad Toh Ves Amah. She did not reveal to Achashverosh her nation, her origin. Shesikai Pelech. Now, the author here is pointing out that the Midrash uses this strange expression, Rachel tafasa pelech ha-shesika, which I translated as she exemplified. But literally, pelech is a thing they call it a distaff. It's a wooden pole that is used by women when they spinning thread. So it connotes umanus miyuchel. It connotes a craft. This is not some rough activity. It's a craft. There's some skill involved over here. She'eina nofeles umanus ha-idaya. It's not inferior to what Chazal here say about Le'ah, that she exemplified the craft, the skill of acknowledgement and gratitude. Shesika yetzira, more specifically, silence is creative. K'moy she'hoidaya yetzira, just like acknowledgement is creative. Shadam yetzir midibo is something that a person produces by his heart. Another example, Vayidoyim Aharon in Parashas Shmini, after his sons die, Shosak v'kibel sechal shesikasei. He kept silence and received reward for it. Avoida g'doyla ha'isa adumiyah. In that case, it was a great avoida to remain silent under those circumstances. Eina shesikarak he'adir dibur. We should not think that silence is merely the absence of speech. Yeish v'ashesika oimeres harbe yosem yima shebechoch milim labia. Often, silence speaks far louder, far more loudly, far more profoundly than words have the power to convey. The pasuk in Tehillim, Lecha dumiya tehillah. To you, Hashem, silence is praise. Mi she'en yodeh umanus ha-shesika. A person doesn't know about the art of silence. Ein loy koysher chavaya. This is a remarkable point. He lacks an ability to experience. There's a certain element of experience that requires silence. And again, this is a remarkable point, but one sees it. It's not difficult to discern. The person can see, hear things that are profound, deep, to the point of being shaken. But it doesn't affect him in the maximum way, because he feels compelled to say something, to specify his assessment. He just can't keep quiet about it. Toiv, afem, oid, it's excellent, brilliant. Lu nichnesu hadavarim ke'eres beliboy. Had the words really penetrated his heart like venom, that's a statement of Chazal, ki az haya sheisek. One sees this often in shiurim or whatever it is, a shiur, something that is really profound. And one sees this. It's amazing that it's a person lacks the ability to experience if he can't just absorb it, give himself the time to absorb it, rather than immediately stating what is the assessment of this talk or shmuz or whatever it is. Finally, Vayelech Shefi, regarding Bil'am. It's an unusual word, Shefi. Rashi says, Ketargumoy Yechidi. As Onklos translates, it means he went alone. Leshon Shefi Vesheket, She'enimoy Ela Shesirei. He was accompanied by nothing but silence. Onwards, Shesika of Didus Keshirois Zoibazoi. Silence and solitude are connected one to the other. A person who knows, and as we said before, it's an art form. One needs to know how to be silent and when to be silent. Such a person will love solitude. A person who hasn't perfected this art, he will flee from solitude. Once again, we do not lean here to extremes. We don't mean that a person should not speak or you should live as a hermit. That's not the point. Such exaggerations, such extremes are not part of the Torah world. We speak about a person who's very much involved with society. We're talking about a person who's cheerful and active. Davka Adam says, specifically such a person who's active and has interactions with people throughout the day, Chayav le'ehoiv sha'a shel bedidus u'shtika. He must love some time of solitude and silence, space for himself, or lechapes sha'a, in fact, to seek out such a time. The Mishnah in Pekei Avos is, Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinai Eimer, Hane'or b'layla, a person who's awake at night, Ve'amelech b'derech yechidi, who is traveling alone, and allows his heart to be filled with vanities. It's a very serious thing. These are hours of goodwill. These are opportunities, which he should utilize to think appropriate thoughts. Words of Torah or reflection. Those hours when he's undisturbed are so important and useful. It's at night, or he's traveling, he's not preoccupied with his work. He's not distracted by people. That's Rabbeinu Yonah. Sha'ois ko'elu, says the author, such hours, when solitude imposes itself on the person, in a choice, it's at night, or he's traveling, he's in the car, whatever it is, it comes to him. Hein mivchan avroi. This is a test for the person. Ad kama uchayim v'ruchanius. To what extent is he living in a spiritual world? Keshebaloi sha'a shekita. When a quiet hour comes along like that. V'umemale oisah machshava v'izbonenus. And he fills it with thought, with reflection, not just a vacuum inside his skull. Siman ki ubal sechel iuni. That's an indication that he possesses analytic mind. Many people would escape from such an hour of solitude as if they were escaping from fire. Because if they are confronted with this, they suddenly confronted with panim el panim, face to face, mul adam zar, with a stranger. They have no interest in getting to know the stranger within themselves. Therefore, they hurry to leave his company. In such a quiet hour, when solitude is imposed upon the person, he faces himself. They're very distant from themselves. They don't know themselves, alienated. In contrast, bar das mechapes she'as bedidus. A bar das will seek. He won't just wait for it to happen passively. He will seek moments of solitude. Ki ba'u margishu miskrev el atzmo ul olamoy. He senses that he's drawing nearer to himself, to his world. Lo yirak she'a kazo ha'ba lo b'mikre hu mekabel kematana. It's not just these moments that come incidentally that he receives as a gift, he treasures. El afu koyver lo yishe'a kazo midei pam b'fam. He sets aside times like that once in a while. It's worthwhile looking at the footnote. Muva bashla b'shem sefer haridim. Bashla koetz sefer haridim. Sha'arizal kosav shekol ma shemotzim b'sefer rishonim. That whatever you find in earlier books, tichachas alavoin sigufim v'yisurim kashim. Let's speak about fasts and other such afflictions. Lo yinizkeru ela lemi she'en amalo b'torah. They are mentioned only for those who do not toil in Torah. A person who is involved in Torah, the takana is not fasting and other things. He should not weaken himself. He should not negate his learning. What he should do is this. One day a week, he should distance himself from people. He should be in solitude. Just himself and his creator. Bind his thought up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chule. The author then continues, translating that to our generation and to our context, not necessarily the whole day away, once a week, but sometime, a significant amount of time of solitude. Hitikun nifla. You can go see there in the source how greatly speaks about this level of solitude. Says the author, Ein kan divrei chasidus. We are not, again, talking about great and extreme manifestations of this. Kol adam bari benafsho. Every person who is psychologically healthy, me'oirav bedat imabios. He's involved, he is interacting with the world. Such a person, margish hechach pnimi, he feels an inner compulsion to be by himself once in a while. Modern terminology, modern parlance here, some space or whatever one wants to call it. But one needs one time, some time for oneself. If the person doesn't supply himself, literally, supply and satisfy this inner demand, can cause much harm to his psychology. Out of solitude and silence, what sprouts is the ability to think. The analytic mind becomes stronger, and the lesser mind, the lesser intellect, which is associated with speech, becomes weaker. This is not the ultimate perfection of Yesod HaRuach and idle speech, but it is the main prerequisite. Says, so instead of much speech, switch on the light of your mind and cheshbon nefesh. Finally, a beautiful thought here. Lulei halayla lo yadanu mayim hakochavim. If not for the night, we wouldn't know about the stars, which is a remarkable point. Kitzad harabishes hayom, during the day, hashemesh meira es haaretz. The sun shines, umastira meinen es hakochavim, and it's so bright that we cannot see the stars. Kol simas libeinu metunaz lechayim haaretzim. Our attention is focused on a certain level of life. Rak im shekiyas hachamayitz, only when the sun sets, viridas choyshech al ha'aretz, and darkness envelops the earth, then mizgalim ha'kochavim, suddenly the stars are revealed, ufoyischim lefenenu oifakim chadashim, and they open up new vistas, new horizons, kimat ensofim, almost infinite. It's really a remarkable point, amazing. If the sun shone continuously, we just wouldn't be aware. There's infinite space over there, amazing horizons. That's the mashal. Kenu be'olamo ha'pnimi shel adam. Similarly, in a person's inner world, behimatzoi ben abriyos, when he's among people interacting, hari kol simas liboy merukezes elyonim artziyim. His focus is on mostly mundane matters. Yetzarav umidesav achuzim bahem. His yetzarim, his midois, again, are focused on these mundane matters. Vegam sichlo asuk bidvarim ma'asim. His mind is also much preoccupied with practical matters. Kol or sichloi v'isani nusoi. The light produced by his mind and his interest is merukaz ala oitz kshaba nefesh. It's focused on the lower level of the nefesh. Betzeisenu l'sha'a mitoch ha'chavah. When we leave society for a while, when that darkness, it's a positive darkness that descends upon that part of the nefesh, it's, that part is switched off. Then we can reveal new vistas within the nefesh, within one's own psyche. It's an expanse, a spiritual expanse opens up in front of us. Distant worlds sparkle opposite us, like stars. They awaken within us, Ahava Hashem, Yiras Hashem, yearning for Kedusha, Chesed. If not for that time of goodwill, that comes through solitude, a person wouldn't know of it. It's just so preoccupied and so focused on things here that one doesn't know of those worlds. The Pasuk in Tehillim, Nun, Pasuk Dalet says, Yikra el Shamayim me'al, ve'el ha'oretz ladin amoy. And the Gemara comments, Yikra el Shamayim me'al zo neshama. The heavens above, that's a neshama. Ve'el ha'oretz ladin amoy ze aguf. The aretz is compared to the guf. Hashamayim shebanefesh zo neshama. Within one's psychology, within one's psyche, the neshama is the heavens. Ha'aretz shebanefesh hem hem kochos aguf. Where's the land within one psychology of the more physical forces. If you wish to see these heavens with their stars, you must darken for a certain period of time the involvement with the Oretz. He's boided. Find some solitude. You'll discover within yourself exaltedness and purity and kedusha and yearning for eternity. Zoi bedidus. This is what we mean when we speak about solitude. That's the description, the discussion of Yesod HaRuach. What remains next is Yesod HaEish. Ad kan.